Here, right here. I got it.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-24-22. It's an ETC request from Assurance Wireless. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioner Sherry Haugen-Hoffert here in the room with me, and Julie Fedorchek, I will be calling in. Also in the room, Attorney Brian Johnson and our Public Utility Director, Victor Shook. I don't have really any opening comments. Commissioner Haugen-Hoffert, do you?
No, I do not.
Okay. I want to emphasize it's an informal hearing, so it involves only undisputed facts. If we run into any information that is under dispute, the issue, we'll have to wrap up the hearing and issue a notice of a formal hearing. And the applicant goes first in these cases. So before you start in, if whoever is taking the lead for Assurance would introduce yourselves either individually or one person introduce with both by name and positions and give us a little information, that would be helpful. But I'll turn it over to whoever is on the lead for Assurance.
Yeah, so my name is Bob Stankina. I'm the Senior Director for T-Mobile's Assurance Wireless business. And joining me is Bill Haas. And Bill is our legal counsel.
How do you spell Bill's last name?
H-A-A-S. Bill, can you hear us?
In the meantime, Bob, what did you say your title is?
I am the senior director.
Okay. Well, did you want to just go ahead and take it away and provide us some information,
yep.
Bob?
Absolutely. I'll jump right in here. So, commissioners, thank you for, you know, this meeting here today. We are very much appreciated. T-Mobile's Assurance Wireless business, right? You know, our overarching goal, right, is to continue to be the industry leader in closing the digital divide, offering lifeline services, devices to qualifying low-income households through various different distribution points. You know, we take the mission of, you know, helping connect the underserved or the variable or the vulnerable, I should say, population, you know, to their worlds, right? And making it and helping them be able to get the things that they need, like telemedicine, you know, employment, you know, doctors, staying in touch with the schools and the hospitals. Under the Assurance brand, which is part of T-Mobile, we've been serving the community since 2009. We're the industry leader in the lifeline space today. We service 42 states plus the District of Columbia, District of Columbia and D.C. Wyoming and Vermont will be coming on board by the end of this month, and we'll have them up online. You know, the network is owned by T-Mobile, so, you know, we have an owned network. It's not leased or anything along that line. We own our own facilities. We offer, you know, a free lifeline service, and that service would provide, as long as they qualified, 1,000 voice minutes, unlimited texts, and 4.5 gigs of high-speed data to the market. When we take a look at the market, As I said, there's three ways in which we go into the market from an education perspective and continual education as we continue to go forward. Number one is, you know, what I'll call the feet on the street. We used our third party distribution to get, you know, folks hired and then deployed into the state, in this case, in the state of North Dakota, to be in the places where the underserved or those that would qualify for Lifeline services typically would be. Besides in the communities, also in areas such as health and human services areas, Section 8 or HUD-type housing, and really try to get to them and do the education of what the service is all about and go through a whole qualification process. Assuming that they can, assuming they do qualify, we will provide them, besides the service, a phone, and then they walk out working at that point. So in that moment, they have a phone that will work going forward. The second way that we go about it is through our digital website. And from a digital website, we do use various media outlets. You know, so these are not all of them, but, you know, some of them could be. We go into, you know, paid search, social media, online video, you know, which would be, we use, you know, Google, Bing, Meta platforms. You know, we do printed material, direct mail, brochures, in order to get the word out as to what you could qualify for into, and hopefully into those population centers to get them to try to apply for their benefits. The third way that we go is what, you know, I refer to as alternate channels, but it's really working with the community that serves this population at the same time. Because as we take a look at Lifeline services, there are those that are they need to hear from their own community leaders, right? I can, my people, our organization can say as many things to them and why they should qualify and why they should go, you know, get the government benefit. But in some cases, they need to hear from their own community leaders, right? So, you know, we'll work with various organizations in order to get that word out and then have them help reach out and bring the people in, either via our website or, you know, through our Feet on the Street Feet on the Street program. And that also helps serve because there are those that qualify for the benefit based on their situation, but can be, you know, too proud from a personal perspective. And we see that every single day. But people within their own community can help overcome that. And that is a real key, right? We're here to help them to put the connection in their hand to help them better or stay connected to the things that we all take for granted on a go-forward basis. Additionally, as
Bob, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
And I'm sorry if I missed it. When you talk about feet on the street, you're talking about the local people feet on the street, correct? To make the connection to the people they know.
That is correct. You know, the Feet on the Street program, we hire folks that will take a branded Assurance wireless tent with a tablecloth. They'll set up in the key areas, you know, outside, you know, in key busy areas, in where there's Department of Aging, Social Security Administration, right? Those type of areas where we know that typically we see that type of transient traffic, and talk to them about that service. They'll have a tablet. They're able to get the person application filled out, see if they qualify. They qualify, be able to provide them a service, and then the phone service and the phone, and then what I call walk out working and walk away with their phone service working.
So then you're going to bring personnel here into North Dakota and have shop here?
I will be hiring third party. It's not T-Mobile employees, but it will be a third party that we contract with. So the answer is yes. We will work with our dealer community to establish a foothold of their personnel serving, use us, selling in or talking about Assurance wireless services to those in this demographic.
So how many people in North Dakota and how do you plan to assign them across the state?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't have a number, but if I really just look at the facts in the state of North Dakota, right, you know, there's about 368,000 households in the state of North Dakota, of which about 60,000 of them qualify for Lifeline services. Today, you have about 7,300 households in the program, you know, from there. So basically, we have mapped out every county in the state of North Dakota. We understand what the population center is from households to those that qualify. And that is what we will sit down with our dealer network, talk with them about where the places that we should be, they should start hiring people to be into those areas across the country. I can't give you a specific to say this is the number for every area. It is it's a natural negotiation that I do with the dealer side of our business.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, one last part, and then I'll get into ACP, because I think it's important to, you know, what I'm going to talk about next is to who and when I say we really believe in this program, what we're doing in a wind down. But when we take a look at T-Mobile coverage, right, you know, throughout the state of North Dakota, we service, when we take a look at where your population center is, where these 60,000 households are, 99% of them are serviced, or T-Mobile has coverage for service to be able to bring the folks on board. From an ACP perspective, as you all know, that is a wind down unless something happens, you know, up in Capitol Hill, which is all, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But in the meantime, we are extending the benefit at our cost all the way through the end of August for each and every ACP person that we have on board. Some of them have Lifeline service. So, you know, if a program doesn't, they'll fall back into the Lifeline. We have those that are ACP only. We'll be working with the ACP only individuals to, again, urge them to see if they can qualify for their Lifeline benefit. Those that either don't go and try to apply or didn't qualify, we will be providing them several different offerings from T-Mobile with our Connect by T-Mobile services or our Metro by T-Mobile services to help them continue past the month of August in a very affordable phone service at that point. We're doing that because it is the right thing to do to help 23 million Americans, of which we have a portion of, but 23 million Americans that need this program, and in hopes that by extending that our government will find a way or a means to either continue before it ends or resurrect as we move forward past those 90 days through the end of August. You know, with that, you know, want to say again, we're excited to be hopefully part of the family here in North Dakota, be able to serve your great constituents and continue pressing in and providing the services that are necessary, you know, for those that are underserved.
I want to go back a little bit. So you had made a comment that you believe you have coverage in 90% of, or for 90% of the,
99.
Was it 90 or 99? I guess I missed
that.
I think
it was
part.
99.
99%
of the, or is that the area of the state of North Dakota, or is that for the anticipated potential customers, or what's that a number of?
Yeah, that 99% is specific to the percent of eligible Lifeline households. So again, we map out by county. We do everything by zip code. And when we map out the 60,000 eligible households, we cover 99% of those via our network.
Okay. And you are seeking statewide ETC designation? Is that accurate statement, or is it something different?
That okay, is- Bob, this is Bill, and I apologize, commissioners. I'm having computer problems, apparently. We're seeking designation to match our coverage area, so it's not exactly statewide, but that's why we submitted our coverage map to demonstrate where we would want to be designated in that area where we have coverage, which is not quite statewide. It's a lot of the state. Our Exhibit 3 shows the magenta color where it would be covered by our wireless network, but it's not exactly 100%.
Okay. That's something a little different for us. I'm not sure that we've ever designated something quite like that. I'm not saying we can't. We just have not historically. That's unique.
Understood. We've been going around the country, I think, Bob, 8 states that we've applied for this year in 2024, 2 of which that have granted it have adopted this approach where we've asked for the designation area to be the same as the wireless coverage of our network. And so far, Wyoming and Vermont have agreed that's what our coverage or our designation will be based on. The rest of them are undecided yet. We're still working through the process in the other states.
Hey, Randy and Sherry, can you hear me? This is Julie.
Yes.
Okay. I've been listening for the last 10 or 15 minutes, but just hadn't had a chance to tell you that I'm here. So I probably won't talk a lot because of my voice, but I'm listening so and participating. Thank you.
Okay. Did you have additional questions?
No.
Right
go
now.
Ahead. No, go ahead.
In your application, you emphasized that this would not impact the high cost universal service support participants. Do I understand that correctly? Is that what you're saying now yet?
It wouldn't impact their funding for high cost support.
Right. That's all I meant.
Obviously, if we take their customers, we will get the subsidy for the subscriber. So that is an impact on them, but it will not impact their high cost support.
Are you aware of how many ETC Lifeline providers, how many Lifeline providers have ETC status in North Dakota?
I don't know an exact number. I know it's more than a few.
So based on that, on page 4 of your application, you say you want to commence providing much needed Lifeline services. Yes, people might, it might be one question of whether people qualify or not. Much needed apparently is a different question of all those multiple carriers and they're not signing up for it. So how do you explain your opinion that it's that another ETC status provider is much needed?
That's a great question. And when you take a look at the, we use the state of North Dakota, and then I'll broaden it out across the country. Today, it's about a 12% penetration, right? Is participating. When you look across the country, the best participation is 30%. So, you know, the way that I would probably, you know, try to answer is where I started a little while ago is it is a compilation of trying to get a message out to a population that at times doesn't always hear what you have to say. So it's a matter of how do you hit them in many different places, right? You got to feed on the street, you got the individual. You do the marketing through, you know, the typical, you know, social media, you know, Google, Bing, Meta platforms, you know, you go through all that. And then it's also reaching out to their community leaders and helping to try to close that gap, that knowledge, that situation that sits there. We are one of the largest suppliers for Lifeline services that are here in the States. I don't have a secret recipe, and I'm not going to tell you that I have a secret recipe. I think, you know, we're all trying to do the right things and get the right message out. And, you know, I hear what you're saying, well, we got many that are serving today. And I guess, you know, my point back is, I agree that you have many, but another one to help to try to close that has been doing it since 2009, I think is just another help for a potential to get more folks involved, because it is not right that these individuals don't have the same access that we on this call enjoy and we take for granted, you know, and I'll be honest, right? You know, we all have our phones and, you know, we take it for granted and we don't think about it. But when you sit down and you talk with and those that are in the situation that are underserved, and you understand, I mean, the stories I get daily from my teams across the country are heartbreaking. And, you know, that is what it's all about. And that's why we do this. If I had a silver bullet, I would share it with you. But what I can commit to you is that all the resources that T-Mobile Assurance Wireless has, and we do in 42 other states in D.C., we will bring into North Dakota with the same fury, commitment, passion that we have everywhere else, and do the best we can to continue to try to grow that penetration.
So your opinion is that all these thousands of Lifeline eligible households in North Dakota who are not getting Lifeline service are doing without phone service, as opposed to they have phone service, they just feel like they are self-sustaining and don't need any help. I don't know which one the answer is. It sounds to me like you're saying they must be without phone service.
No, I never said that. I don't know. You know, what I'm trying to say is there's an education, right? It is a pure education. And the more you get out there, the more you do education. I don't know whether they have service or not. I cannot answer that question.
Commissioner Haugen-Offert asked about, I don't know how exactly you said it, kind of a boots on the ground thing. And you said you'd be contracting and have somebody here and mm-hmm. Mentioned tent set up with tables and, okay, that's for sales. Mm-hmm. Now, if I were an Assurance Wireless customer today and the phone's not working or my bill looks wrong or I have some kind of a complaint, is there someone in North Dakota that I can talk to?
No, sir. You know, we are like every state that we do business in. If there's a concern, we have a 1-800 number to our customer care organization. That is, you know, your first line of the first line to come in and have those conversations. There's the ability to email, you know, us and others if you're not getting, you know, your resolution to be heard. So that works well. We have been doing that since 2009, and that would be, you know, the way that we would, that's the way that we do operate, and it's been serving our subscribers or consumers well so far.
Thanks, Bob. Can I circle back, Commissioner,
sure.
Chair, to
sure.
Your prior question? And first of all, let me clarify. As an Assurance Wireless customer, they really won't have a bill complaint, because for them, the service will not cost them anything. But more importantly, to your point about why we would need another one, I would wager that other than the RLEX or the ILEX that are Lifeline in your state, I think Assurance would be the one unless Verizon's there, I don't know that they are in North Dakota yet. Maybe they are now, but recently. But we're a facilities-based provider. A lot of the ones that maybe have been certified are not. They're MVNOs. And there's a difference in my mind between an MVNO who doesn't invest in the state, whereas Assurance, T-Mobile, is investing in your state. We've put a lot of network out there, certainly in the last couple of years, that has increased our capabilities, our coverage, the speed of that coverage, all the wonderful things that make wireless the desired method of receiving telecommunication service today. That means we have more incentive maybe than some of these other wireless lifeline providers to make sure our network is being fully utilized, because we want to make sure that we have plenty of people in North Dakota using our network facilities, which we've invested a lot of money into. So I do think there's a difference between us and some of the other ones that might have been certified. We've got a real interest in making sure that we use every ounce of that network to the best of our ability. And Assurance is definitely a part of that effort to make sure customers that need the assistance from the government are part of our customer base and have access to really, really good wireless service.
And I think just to piggyback off of what Bill said, right, is, you know, T-Mobile is a big, vast, you know, company, and we have a lot of resources. We also work with our other organizations like our T-Mobile for Business, right, as we work with healthcare providers and others trying to get the message out and like I said, the one-to-many in the community. So that is also what gets brought to the table. It isn't just T-Mobile's Assurance Wireless, but it is the rest of T-Mobile to help us be successful in trying to close that digital gap with these 60,000 households.
Yeah, and really part of my question as far as the people in North Dakota revolved around not so much, yeah, okay, I mentioned both the billing as well as the phone service. You respond as far as the billing. If the phone doesn't work, I don't know how they call you or email you to tell you that. But that's with a lot of the other carriers. But I also want to address the part about, so there's no bill to complain about because it's free. What happens if I sign up, if I qualified and signed up for your service, and I talk a lot and exceed 1,000 minutes? Does the phone stop working at 1,000 minutes, or do I get a bill?
No. So, great question. So basically, when you're 85% to your 1,000 minutes, you do get a message letting you know that you're getting close to your threshold of minutes. And you have the ability to purchase additional minutes to your plan. So that would be offered up. So at 85%, we provide a message to the consumer. And then as you hit your 1,000 threshold, we don't cut a phone call off. It's just say that you're in the middle of a conversation. We continue to let that call go through. If your bucket of minutes are, you know, you have exceeded your bucket of minutes, right? You'll get a message letting you know that on your phone, and then directing you how to go ahead if you want to add more minutes, how you can go add more minutes to the plan, along that lines.
But so the phone call continues, but subsequent to that, if they just don't respond to those cues, it's the 20th of the month, at some point they're just not going to have more phone service, or they're going to get a big bill?
No, there is no bill. You wouldn't be, the only voice calling you would be able to do would be the emergency service, customer care. So that always would be working. So there is no bill. They would literally, if I wanted to make calls outside of an emergency or to customer care, they would buy another bucket of minutes, purchase another bucket of minutes to be able to do that. But their phone will work for emergency purposes and to call customer care.
Got it.
Their
thank you.
Text messaging will continue to work. Their data services will continue to work, you know, through those.
And there's a similar message that customers get when they're getting close to their data cap. Hey, Bob.
That is correct. Same 85%, right? And when you get to new data cap.
Okay.
And then text is prepaid?
If they buy additional minutes, is that prepaid?
That is correct. That is correct. It's prepaid.
Mm-hmm. And you are, I mean, it's in here. I just want to verify in the record that nothing has changed. Are you asking for an exclusion from our requirement to provide a directory?
Yes, I believe we asked for that.
Okay. And on, I don't know if you have your application in front of you or if you want me to read a couple sentences, but on page 9 of your application, it's section E, and it mentions, as you had talked about earlier, that you're looking for territory to correspond to the wireless coverage service areas exclusive of tribal lands. What does that mean? What does exclusive of tribal lands mean?
Well, we've got our coverage goes into tribal lands, but we are not applying to become an ETC in those areas at this time.
So wherever that reservation boundary starts, if your address is in there, you would not qualify for assurance service.
Not, right. Not for Lifeline service, because we wouldn't be offering it there at this time.
I've never... Have we run into any of these before that kind of, it seems like it almost discriminates.
I'm not sure that I've seen one since I've been doing this stuff that hasn't extended to tribal lands. I'm not saying we've never done that.
Yeah. I'm going to want to do a little.
Why are you seeking that type of designation or exclusion?
Bob, why don't you go ahead?
Tribal lands. First of all, we have to work with each of the tribes in order to get permission to be able to even access tribal lands for programs and for service. We do not have that today, so I'm not. Again, we're not here to. Say, sure, we could go serve the private. Yeah. On paper, could we? Sure. But realistically, I need to try the tribes to sign off on. We're working nationally, you know, with the tribes, but we're not there yet. So we rather come back and amend our ETC status when the time comes when we're available and approved by the tribal community to provide service.
Victor, did you have any questions?
Not on the application itself. That tribal piece, I think, makes, honestly, to a certain extent, it gives me a little bit more comfort. I think early on, a lot of our concerns with the Lifeline program revolved around things happening on tribal lands. So as I kind of work myself through that, I'm a little bit more comfortable. But I think the application was pretty straightforward. I know Bill and I had exchanged a couple emails about we do have a certification to order provisions that we normally send out, and I think they have some requested amendments to what I had sent out to them. And since that's kind of the commission's document, I didn't want to just kind of sign off on those without them proposing their edits. So... if it's helpful, I can give you all copies of what their proposed edits are. And then if Bill wants to kind of walk through the proposed edits, thought I made enough copies for everyone, but I'm going to make one more here. So, Bill, if you can go ahead if you want to start.
Sure. Well, thanks very much, and thanks, Victor, for sharing that. So, basically, the changes we propose are to reflect this, what you're recognize as a unique ask in terms of having our designation match our coverage area. So the standard, as I read the certification that is typically signed, talks about wire centers, et cetera. And we propose language which doesn't reference wire centers, but that the coverage area designated in our Exhibit 3, which may or may not exactly coincide with some or all rural incumbent telephone company wire centers within the state of North Dakota, exclusive of tribal areas, which, again, we believe that's a more appropriate designation for us to match our coverage because it doesn't necessarily match in every instance the wire center boundaries, which, as you may know, the FCC has forborne from applying that requirement, which was originally a requirement, but it's no longer a requirement at the FCC. So that would be a change to the first paragraph. And we would ask then for conforming changes for 2 and 3 paragraphs to, again, eliminate the reference to enumerated telephone exchanges and simply replace with proposed designated coverage area. So if you're looking at the document, I just kind of went through the first page of the proposed changes to North Dakota certification page, if you see that.
Okay.
Then I did provide you the citation on the second page of that document to those two new orders that we've received in Vermont and Wyoming, where, again, those commissions have agreed with our proposed designation recommendation to match our coverage area. So I'm going to skip to then the following one, which first talks about the current standard. Paragraph mentions minutes of use for local service, which is not a problem, but if we didn't have local service in there, that would be a little more accurate for us simply because our lifeline doesn't distinguish between local and long distance. So I would just take out local service for no additional charge and just leave it for no additional charge.
Can you reference again, what number you're on, Bill?
Yeah, sure. That would be your standard paragraph, what I'm calling standard paragraph 6.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions on that proposed edit?
I'm not seeing any. Go ahead.
Okay. So then I would move to paragraph 7, the standard. Language talks about where the applicant's network already passes by the potential customer's premises. That to me reads like it's for a wireline provider because our coverage doesn't pass by any particular premise. So we had proposed language that says we'll provide service on a timely basis to requesting customers within our designated service area, which again, if they're in our coverage area, we will provide timely service to those customers and limited any reference about passing by the premise. Any questions on that one?
I think you can just continue.
Okay, so then standard paragraph 8, again, talks about, but outside existing network coverage, service can be provided at reasonable cost by A, B, I copied it. It says A, B, and E. So maybe I thought I copied it directly from the document that was sent to me by Victor. But bottom line, those criteria about modifying the network, I mean, there is no customer equipment except for their device. So that doesn't seem applicable. Adjusting network or customer facilities are concerned. Again, there's no customer facilities to adjust. Adjusting the network, you know, where our coverage goes by, you know, tweaking an antenna or something is going to affect other customers. So that's really not a good option for us. And then reselling services, we're a facilities-based provider, so we don't resell anybody else's services. So we propose simply that language that would say we'll provide service within a reasonable time if the potential customer is within Assurance's proposed designated service area, and leave the rest of that out. Moving on to standard paragraph 10, we'll check all available databases, including the National Lifeline Accountability Database. I'm only aware that that's the database that we and other carriers use, unless the state has their own specific, you know, Texas, I think, still has a database, but everybody else has gone to it, so I'm not sure the language is needed anymore, but we will, for every subscriber applicant, check the National Lifeline Accountability Database.
Okay, and I get your point on why you're seeking the change. I do want to ask a question outside of this certification document, but on that topic. Some of the other ETCs emphasize, and I don't know if it's always 1 year, but they will have some time frame at which they verify to see if their customers continue to be Lifeline eligible. You mentioned in the application that you check that when they sign up. Do you check them at a certain period of time subsequent to sign on?
Yeah. So basically, when the customer is approved by NLAD for Lifeline services, that's 12 months, and NLAD does a recertification. So we as a carrier do not do the recertification. We are advised by USAC as to who will continue their benefits after 12 months and who do we need to remove service from.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I think, Bill, you can
continue. Sure. So standard 11 mentions work with underlying carriers, which in our mind doesn't apply to us because Assurance is a facilities-based carrier in the eyes of the FCC. So, again, that language is not necessary to talk about underlying carriers. Any questions on that one?
Not seeing any.
Okay. Then standard paragraph 16, it sounds a little broadly drafted. A copy of each report filed with the SEC within 30 days. I mean, as Bob has mentioned, I think we're in 42 states now. I assume that you're only interested in the reports for North Dakota. So we propose language that would just narrow it down to the form 555 and the form 41 for North Dakota filed with the SEC within 30 days of that filing. Then the last one, we propose to insert about maintaining records for 3 years because that's the FCC rule on that, that record keeping for Lifeline is limited to 3 years. So just for consistency between other jurisdictions in North Dakota, we'd prefer to, again, adopt that same time limitation for maintaining Lifeline records.
Okay.
So those were the proposed changes. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions, additional questions you might have about those proposed changes.
I'm not seeing questions. I'll speak for myself. Not asking questions doesn't necessarily mean agreeing to make all those changes. I want to give some consideration to, you mentioned seeking uniformity. There's some value sometimes here that we have uniformity between the ETCs too. So we'll consider them, but thank you for explaining your requests.
You're welcome, and thanks for considering them.
And then I do have one more question, and in North Dakota, administrative rules, it's regarding ETC. One of the check marks is that that the company demonstrates that it offers a local usage plan comparable to the one offered by the incumbent LEC in the proposed designated service area. Explain to me how 1,000 minutes is comparable to unlimited? Because I know unlimited is what at least many of our LECs offer for local service, and some of those do not charge for long distance either. So,
I guess it's comparable in value, I would argue, because I haven't looked up everybody in North Dakota that's a Lifeline that's a rural LEC, but most of them that I have looked at, and in South Dakota, another state that I've got that I'm working through the same process, you know, they still charge you. They give you the credit, but they don't have a free Lifeline service.
Right.
So we would say the 1,000 minutes, the customer is still going to come out ahead, even though there's a limit. They can buy extra minutes and probably still not come up with the price that they're going to be paying to the local wireline company, who's just giving them a discount off their regular wireline rate, not giving them service for free.
Do you have a statistic, like nationally or something, of your customers? How many of them upgrade to something higher than the 1,000?
Yeah, that's a great question, Commissioner. I'm going to give you two answers here. First of all, the average Lifeline customer only uses about 127 voice minutes in a month. That's the average user. When I look at my entire customer base, is 123 minutes. Now, of our base, roughly 2%. Of the base are buying additional minutes. So it's very small.
I think a bigger number buys more data. But minutes,
yes, we have. Definitely. Yes. Yep. So 2% is on 2% of the base buys more voice minutes, and about 6% of the base buys more data.
Out of all these ETCs, you're the first one I thought of this question on, of like how many seek additional minutes.
That's a fair, I get it. It's a fair question.
And so I really got to give that some thought. So I appreciate the clear answer, except for one thing I just want to make sure. The 123 minutes, the 2%, the 6%. Is that of your customers, or is that some kind of a national statistic of everyone's Lifeline customers?
No, that is T-Mobile Assurance Wireless only customers. We do not know what others' customer base looks like. We have no access to that.
Well, but I sure appreciate you answering that. It's more food for thought. Shows the person never ceases to learn.
Well, that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
You could tell they're older if they're only using 127 voice minutes per month versus a teenager.
No. The data used to be the difference.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions? No. Commissioner Fedorchuk, do you have any more questions or comments?
You guys have done a great job covering everything. Very thorough, so no, I don't.
Victor or
I hope
Brian?
You feel better soon.
Thank you.
Will you be filing a signed certification with your proposed changes to it?
Yes, once we understand where you come down on our proposed changes, we would definitely sign a signed certification.
So the commission doesn't generally issue a decision on that point separately. So my suggestion would be, I didn't seem to sense a great deal of pushback on any of those changes. So what I would recommend is basically accepting those changes into the document, filing the signed certification. If the commission has a concern with that, they'll probably take that up on final consideration of the request.
Okay, that makes sense. We can do that.
Yeah, that gives us something to consider then.
Right, right.
Sure. Makes sense. That was the only thing. You. We'll get that done.
Okay. Brian, did you have anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. I want to thank you guys for having your cameras on so we could see you while you present it. I really appreciate that. So thank you.
You're welcome.
This is as nice as I've dressed up in a while. So it's good to be seen. And I apologize again for my ineptitude in getting in or whatever. I've been having computer issues this morning. So I apologize again.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Are there... And did we really go through this?
Yeah, he went through the first couple pages, yes.
Yeah. Is there any objection to the evidence presented today, the recording of the discussion, as well as this full document, including the pages we just never really went through, becoming part of the record upon which a decision will be made?
No objection from the company.
None from staff.
Okay, so that evidence will become part of the record. Any other matters for the record? With that, this informal hearing is concluded. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Bob and Bill.
Appreciate it.